Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wednesday, June 16th, Grant and Danny underway on 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you guys listening to the show. Short and sweet today, abbreviated. We are with you until 3:30. Nats pregame at that time, and then first pitch, looking for a sweep over the Pirates at 4 o'clock.
You know those cans of tuna fish? You've seen them before. You get it, the can opener. When you get all the tuna fish out of the can, you're like, how'd they get all that tuna fish in that can? That's what we're doing today. We're putting 4 hours of content, really 4.5, if I may, into the tuna fish can. That is 90 minutes. We're going to do it.
When's the last time you made yourself a tuna fish sandwich?
2 weeks ago.
That recently?
2 weeks ago. Yep.
Wow.
I'm just looking for things that I'm allowed to eat, man. You can eat the tuna fish.
But they're not a sandwich. You can't really eat a sandwich.
You got to get the super low-carb bread-like substitute. It's not good. But it's bread-ish. It's of or adjacent to bread.
Do you add mayo to the tuna?
A little mayo
fish
in there. A lot of salt and pepper.
Got to do that. I haven't eaten tuna fish in a while, but there are times where I'll go on a little tuna fish heaters.
Like I just want it all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? My wife can't stand having it in the house. I beg her. Like all I'm doing is searching for things to eat. She doesn't want
to smell it from across the street.
Yeah, she doesn't want it anywhere near our block, let alone in the residence.
So much to get to in a short time today, though. You almost wish we had our normal 4.5 because there's a lot going on. The Nats have won 3 in a row. We'll get you a full preview of their game with the Pirates coming up. Too bad they can't play Pittsburgh all the time.
I would love to play Pittsburgh
all the time. I was thinking about this morning. So it was supposed to be a Thursday. Max was going to pitch today until he had to go to the injured list yesterday or 2 days ago maybe. So now it's a Paolo Espino start. I think the Nats should have really leaned into the Espino day. Like, it doesn't sound like Scherz day, but if they had, like, the black and white image really up close on his, like, face with his eyes different colors. Like
with, like, hardcore music.
Right, and they
amp you up a little bit.
Because normally they're like, it's Scherz day, and all their social media does Scherz day stuff all day. If they were like, it's Palzo day or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to fake fire everyone up.
And then, like, huge graphics, like explosions, 87-mile-an-hour fastballs, lots of off-speed, pitching backwards, 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 backwards. Like a big production.
The first crafty right-hander ever. He doesn't blow you away. He slows you away. You know, like,
in a world. You know, like trailer voice guy?
Very Paolo Espino-y. But he's thrown the ball pretty well. Hopefully he can keep it up today. I always feel like it's a matter of time before a guy who's throwing in the 80s gets rocked because you just have no margin for error. But if he can give you 3 decent innings, 1 trip through the lineup today, they're going to piggyback him with another guy who's a triple-A Freddy in Jeffrey Rodriguez. Maybe he gives you 2 or 3 innings. If you can get through 6 and those guys combine for 3 or 4 runs, you'll take it. And then you just need some offense. I mean, yesterday they hit a grand slam. Yan Gomes is here. First inning of the game, and they got out to a big lead. I mean, they need a similar kind of offensive output probably.
You're allowed to do that.
Your seventh and eighth organizational pitchers on the mound today.
You're allowed to do those sorts of things where you string wins together, you get a bunch of hits and score runs in consecutive games. It's a thing.
News of the day, we've got a bet that has been settled.
Yes, indeed.
Danny and I, a couple of weeks ago on the show, made a bet about Scott Brooks' future. If Scott Brooks was retained by the Wizards, I was going to have to wash Danny's car in a Tanner Rainey jersey. If Scott Brooks and the Wizards parted ways and they didn't bring him back, Danny was going to have to wash my car in an Ish Smith jersey. We were going to have to purchase the jerseys of those players. And you added in the caveat a few days ago randomly that it had to be in a sexy
it's
way.
It's got to be sexy. We're going to do a car wash that's not going to be sexy. It's going to be a sexy car wash.
So,
here I go.
Scott Brooks and the Wizards are going in their separate directions. Woj made the announcement today. Now, there was a report, I think, just a few days ago in town that Scott Brooks is coming back. But I'm going to roll with what Woj is saying, which is that he's not coming back. The Wizards have not said anything officially just yet. But when Woj says it, I'm going to buy what he's selling. So it sounds like Scott Brooks, on his way out, contract obviously expired. He and the team couldn't have come to an agreement on a new deal. And so with that in mind, Danny, no more Scott Brooks.
No more Scott Brooks.
You're going to be washing my car.
Yeah, I'm looking for an Ish Smith jersey right now, trying to find
what
the best
they run?
Outlet. There's all sorts of different prices. The $140 price point's not that encouraging. That hurts a little bit.
I think that's part of the whole deal of the bet, though.
Yeah. I'd rather find a slightly cheaper version for maybe $70, which looks like it may be available. I don't know where people get jerseys. I haven't bought a jersey in decades.
I think you should buy the stitched, authentic $296, whatever the best jersey is.
Oh,
I want.
But I'm going to trash it up watch in this sexy car wash.
But you'll wash it while you're doing it. I think we need a game-used Ish Smith jersey, like from an auction that goes to a good cause. So if there's a Wizards website that has a bunch of game-used jerseys for this year where it's all going to some great cause and you have to spend like $496 on an Ish Smith, I think that would be the best thing for what we're doing.
$139 for an Ish Smith jersey. I mean, what are we doing? Just general question. Sorry, this isn't for any one person specifically. This website here at NBA.com has the audacity, not Odyssey, mind you. The Odyssey. Odyssey's wonderful. Is it audacious? Are you on a long journey?
Well,
no one knows.
It's part audacious. It's part an Odyssey, it's but it's audio. Also audio.
It's also
so
audio.
It's Odyssey.
They have the audacity to charge $140 for an Ish Smith jersey.
Ish Smith had some huge games in the playoffs.
I'm sure he did. This jersey doesn't like vibrate. It doesn't massage your back. There's no extra cushioning. It's that tank top. $140 for an Ish. Come on, man.
So when's it shipping to you?
We'll see. I'm looking. Maybe I'll fit into a child's medium. See if there's another option.
Remember, $140. There's going to be a video of you out there.
Yes.
So I don't know that I'd want a child's medium if I was you. Because this is one of those things that's going to be used against you for many, many years.
Absolutely. I get it. I made the bet.
People are going to be posting GIFs and memes, and there's going to be a lot of Danny Ruye and Ish Smith washing a car for years to come on Twitter. I can predict that right now. So I would get a jersey that you're going to feel comfortable in.
There's a youth small there. There's the ones they do for women. There's kind of sleeve, a little bit more sleeve than your normal tank top.
Are you thinking about getting a sleeve?
Yeah, because it's slightly cheaper. But I don't know if they'd have my size in ladies. What would my size be in ladies' clothing?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Massive. XXX?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be large.
Absolutely. We'll figure this out. We'll get it done.
So make the order today so we can keep the train on the tracks here with a little momentum.
Indeed.
And we'll get you washing that car in no time. It doesn't need to be overly sexy as far as I'm concerned because then we'd lose the bet.
In a way?
Nobody really won the bet if it gets really sexy. I just want you to wash my car so that my car gets cleaned. I don't need you to do anything else while you're doing it. You kind of added in the caveat of the sexiness.
I just don't know how you do this in a way that's like not sexy.
You ever washed your car before? Like that?
Yeah, but if I'm on video, like it's gonna like be a little tawny, contained white snake to it. You know,
you're gonna hop up on the hood.
Yeah, there're gonna be some look
whip
backs.
Whip your hair back and forth.
You know, like the Instagram ladies, there'll be some looking back. You know, we'll give you a fit check.
Oh boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I need that from you.
You're getting it.
Well, thank you. I guess
you're welcome.
But what did you make of the news that Brooks isn't coming back?
Honestly, surprised. Obviously, I mean, I made the bet
no
that
kidding.
I did, but I thought the longer this went, the more it would be. Hey, we don't think, you know, we've done our due diligence. We've looked inside and we don't see better options. They're going to cater to Russell Westbrook, who obviously came out very much in favor of Scott Brooks. I think this was a lot of their waiting, I think, honestly, was to see what would happen with Bradley Beal and the All-NBA team. Him making third-team All-NBA makes him eligible to sign a massive extension, I believe 4 years and $180 million. I think that's something they're going to pursue. I think they were waiting until some of those dominoes fell. Now, I don't think that was the right thing. I think they should have hurried the hell up and gotten in on the carousel and started interviewing people. But I think that was some of the determinations that they were trying. If they were going to lose Bradley and build around Russell Westbrook, and we'd want to have Westbrook happy now, but the more important thing is Beal happy, et cetera. I'm pleased, obviously. I think it was the right move. I think it was absolutely the right time. They need somebody who can hold them accountable defensively, who can get some better offense in a half court, and really develop another running mate for these two backcourt stars. They need to find somebody, somehow, who can either maximize Rui, get something out of Avdija, develop a wing player to be named later, a draft pick, whoever it is. They need a third player that can step in at times and really do some things. They don't have that right now.
Everything you just described, there's not really a coach available who's going to do all those things. I mean, you're chasing a ghost. The perfect candidate would develop those players and help them to play defense. Nobody plays defense in the NBA anymore. There's like two or three teams that play defense. A new head coach is going to come in here. They'll play defense for a couple of weeks, and then they'll stop playing defense again because they don't have the personnel to play defense. Unless they change a bunch of things with the players that they have, they're not going to be a good defensive team. If Davis Bertans is getting big minutes, I can tell you right
You'll be bad at defense.
They're going to have – they got too many guys you got to hide defensively to be good. You could bring in Tom Thibodeau. You're not going to play great defense. Having said that, it was 5 years. They didn't do enough under Scott Brooks, and it makes sense. They didn't fire him. The contract expired.
Mm-hmm.
They agreed to get married for 5 years and reassess after 5 years. And after 5 years, they decided we're going to go in a different direction. I think that was healthy. It's the right decision. I do think the fan reaction mattered. Fans were up in arms over the last calendar year. And in mass, I think they wanted to see a change. And I think it would have been a really hard sell. That's why I thought he wasn't coming back more than anything else. I think it would have been really tough for Ted Leonsis and maybe more importantly, a GM who's trying to still win this fan base and win support over and Tommy Shepard to come out and say, we're going to stick with Scott Brooks. You can't sign him to a one-year deal. It would have taken two, maybe 3 years. Well, how on earth are you going to give him a two- or three-year contract after the last five seasons and sell that to the fan base? So it just never added up for me. It didn't make sense. And I think they are a viable option for good coaching candidates. I think they're going to get a quality assistant, whether that is a Sam Cassell or somebody like him. You know, if they wanted to go with a bigger name who's a next coach up in the league, like a Chauncey Billups, there's going to be a lot of talk about Becky Hammon in San Antonio becoming the first female head coach in the next couple of years. You know, would the Wizards want to be a team to break ground and get some of the credit that comes along with that while possibly hiring a very qualified coaching option as well? I mean, that's something I think that could be a possibility. And I would also add into the conversation that, like you always, when you're doing your due diligence, I think need to look at some of the star college coaches. Who's willing to make the jump? Who's not? But this is a chance for a shot in the arm to reinvigorate the fan base a little bit and to try to create some pizzazz and some excitement about this organization. I just think with Westbrook coming off the year he just did, where he was a top five player in the NBA for the last couple months, and Bradley Beal maybe being like third-team All-NBA when it all shakes out here in the next several days, this is a job that someone with some skins on the wall is going to want. Like, this is a job that if you're a quality coaching candidate and the Wizards call, you're not saying, no, thanks. You're answering that call. You're talking to Tommy. You're talking to Ted. You want to hear what they have to say. It's a decent gig right now. You're going to be a playoff team in the East, which is, I wouldn't say wide open, but not nearly as arduous to get out of as the West probably for the next couple of years. You'd be inheriting a team that's going to be in the 4-5 range in the East next year if some things work out this offseason.
Tend to agree. It's not maybe the best job, but it's a good one.
Well,
right?
LeBron's not on the team.
Well, yeah.
So it's not the best job.
Right. It's a good one in the sense that you'll get a chance to do what you're hired to do. They're going to show you allegiance. They're not going to fire you if it's a disaster after 6 minutes. They're going to let you play it out. I mean, again, Artie Grenfell got nearly 20 years. He got a decade and a half or however long it was to continue to make a mess and then say, whoops, I made a mess, and then get himself out of it. They allowed the full reign of Scott Brooks. He probably should have been let go before the start of this year if you were going to move on. But they didn't. They kind of kept him and let it run its course, and then almost kept him just now, it sounds like. So we'll see. But to me, this is one of those great opportunities here where you touch on this. You got the backcourt. You know who they are. And this should be the kind of coach or the kind of job that a young coach relishes, to walk in and develop kind of the next group. Some of those assistant coaches, guys like Chauncey Billups, who you mentioned, Sam Cassell, who you mentioned, have a great track record of taking guys that are afterthoughts and having them step up big and grow into bigger pieces and bigger parts. That's the key to this franchise. It's not these two stars who don't really play much defense and are great in their own way offensively. You need somebody else to step up and be a regular contributor. That's the challenge for this coach, because you've already got these two guys who are going to sleepwalk to 40 wins. Now you need somebody that can do something on a nightly basis to get you into that 45-50 range.
Speaking of basketball, by the way, if you guys want to weigh in on Brooks and the Wizards parting ways today, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, that's the breaking news of the afternoon in D.C., you can call us right now on the Gambit D.C. listener lines, and we will get a few thoughts from our listening audience at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll see what you guys think. But speaking of basketball for 1 second,
mm-hmm.
It's crazy how many publications nationally have written up and talked about our Charles Barkley interview.
That's correct.
In the last couple of days.
That's right.
And it's not like all good necessarily for Charles, unfortunately. It's funny. He came on, he was talking about cancel culture and people getting upset about comments. And I don't know how he's going to feel about the fact that, I mean, some people are taking him saying he doesn't joke about San Antonio anymore because someone wrote to Turner Sports and basically he was asked not to make his jokes about women in San Antonio anymore. And they're now saying like that he was silenced by his company and he's upset about it. I mean, it's amazing to see this play out in real time after he had just talked on our show about how you can't say anything publicly anymore without it getting parsed up a million ways and people yeah. being bothered and offended. But it's not just that portion of the interview that's getting written up. I mean, him saying he's going to retire at 60, some of the stories he told. Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports is like offering him a job now where he can come say whatever he wants.
Whole thing is like, wild.
It's blowing up everywhere.
And kind of his point is playing out.
Totally.
His larger point is, right, where there are some people that are angry about it, some people are just writing it up because it's newsworthy, because it's not like he's doing a ton of radio interviews. He hung out with us for 45 minutes and covered everything from his agent stealing from him to Scott Brooks rooming with him for a week to,
right.
To a rumor that was started by Bernie Bickerstaff Sr. that he was over 300 pounds so that he would slip to the Washington Bullets to Skip Ballless and a million other things. I mean, he Charles Barkley'd the hell out of our show, and it was tremendous. So, of course, you know, people got to get their pixels. They got to get their big write-ups to see if they can get some clicks out of it. And, you know, people are going to shake their fist and get angry at what they want to get angry at. And that was, you know, one of the points that he was making to us.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. The NFL just released new protocols to clear up what is acceptable and allowed for vaccinated players versus unvaccinated players. And it's pretty amazing, the contrast here. And it's very clear what they're doing. They're trying to motivate as many players as possible to get vaccinated. I'll go over some of the big discrepancies and differences between players who get vaccinated and how they'll be treated and the guys who choose not to in just a couple of moments. Plus, we want to hear from you guys on the news that Scott Brooks is not coming back. Who should be the next head coach of the Washington Wizards? We're Grant and Danny, and you're listening to The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yesterday on the show, Daryl Green was with us. Welcome back, G&D on the Fan. On the possibility of the Washington football team changing their name to something nobody likes, he said, if they go 14-2 like we did my rookie year, they could call them the Meatballs. People seem to like that a lot, but it's true. They win, it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
If you missed Daryl Green yesterday, make sure you grab the podcast. It'll be a short show today. We're off the air in about an hour at 3:30 for Nats pregame, so you'll have some extra time to get your fix in and go back and listen to Daryl Green. Or Ryan was kind enough to put together our two segments of the Charles Barkley 43-minute fun into one clickable link on our podcast page.
Really cool.
Just listen to the 43 straight minutes of that. A lot of great content for you as we've been on a little bit of a heater here on G&D of late. Wizards and Scott Brooks going in their different directions. I don't know why I care about this, but terminology does seem to matter to me a lot more than it does the average person. People keep saying he got fired. He's not getting fired. His contract expired. That was like all along the thing, too, was people said, he's coming back, he's coming back. They have to re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
The contract is up. If there was a year left on the deal, I wouldn't have made the bet with you that he's going to be out. They might have just kept him for the final year of the deal and paid him. But he's not fired. They just decided they're not going to
sign him to a
hire
new contract.
Him again,
yes.
Actually. Like, they could hire him again or hire someone else, and they're going to hire someone else. Couple of things we'll get into this segment outside of Scott Brooks, but let's finish the calls here. George is in St. Mary's. Who do you want the Wizards to hire?
Say Sam Cassell.
His name's popping up a bunch. I mean, Sam Cassell is an assistant who people think is on the fast track to getting a head coaching job. He obviously played here at one point in time, years ago, I should say was an assistant,
He's been one of those frequently mentioned candidates. He's, you know, kind of the bridesmaid that hasn't really gotten the gig or the chance just yet.
How involved is he in Philly? He's on that
staff. It's
a great
question.
What does he do?
This, by the way, is one of the hardest things. And I don't know. And I follow hoops as closely as most folks. And it's always hard to say when somebody kind of gets the blessing, right, of being a hot head coaching candidate. You're not really sure how involved some of these guys are in game planning, scouting, player development, or whatever. Sometimes it's all the head coach. Sometimes it's, you know, some film nerd behind the scenes, and you just kind of never know. But he's got a great reputation. I mean, people really, really like the guy. Very likable, charismatic dude, can reach folks. So him, someone like Wes Unseld Jr., obviously the name Unseld means an awful lot here in town. An assistant right now for the Nuggets is another hot coaching candidate. Some of the retread guys like Mark Jackson, who made a great difference in growing that Golden State team to get them ready to be a real competitor. He was instrumental in some development. That's not a terrible name. He's always been rumored over the last several years. I mean, there are plenty of names. But the two young guys, I say young, they're former players now, Cassell and Chauncey Billups are the two kind of sexiest names that you hear a lot.
Cassell was the point guard whisperer here. I remember he mm-hmm. was an assistant with the Wiz. I was never really on the beat, but
with
I
Eddie
covered
Jordan.
The team for the Fan one season during an off season of the Washington football team. And I was at every game pretty much. And he would be out there working with their guards before every game, and guys loved him. He's a local guy, local enough anyway. He went to Dunbar High School in Baltimore, Maryland, before going to Maine Central Institute and then playing college ball. Let's go to Mike in Centerville on Grant and Danny. Mike, news of the day, Scott Brooks and the Wizards parting ways. We talked a lot about his future. He's out. Now what?
Hey, guys. I think with all the old school college coaches getting mad about the transfer portal, I think we back up the Brinks truck to Bob Huggins. You put Bob Huggins with Russell Westbrook, it might shake the whole East, man. We actually play some defense, stop some people. Might get the city fired up, man. My vote's for Bob Huggins. Give him the money.
Interesting.
Thanks, dude.
Bob Huggins has been a college coach for 36 years. Has he ever coached at any professional way?
I couldn't tell off the top of my head. I don't think so.
He was at Akron, Cincinnati, Kansas State, West Virginia since 07, 08.
Here's the thing. I don't hate it. I know it's right now you're just naming names of guys that are really good college coaches. But the point of the call to me, the bigger picture, I like. You get a guy that's a really good college coach that's got a track record of success, and you go, hey, don't you think this transfer portal thing is going to stink? Don't you think this name, image, likeness thing is going to stink and make it harder to reach these college
Coach
kids
K,
and more difficult?
Retiring.
You Roy know
Williams
what might work?
Retiring.
Yeah, you go to the NBA because you'll be able to deal with. You're dealing with 22, 23-year-old kids at this point.
If I'm Sashi Brown or I'm Tommy Shepard or Ted Leonsis, I'm calling all kinds of guys like that. Now, personally, I would go with the young, energetic, relatable, excited, younger guy, not Bob Huggins, who I don't know how old he is, but I would guess he's in his mid-60s.
Been doing it for a while,
something like that. But if you told me they're hiring a legendary college coach who's been at it for decades, I wouldn't hate that if it's someone who's going to bring some type of culture to this program. I also like when my head coaches look like they're at all times like they just walked out of a Waffle House. And nobody looks more like they just walked out of a Waffle House than Bob Huggins every time you see him. Like, I've never seen Bob Huggins and didn't think, that guy's never eaten at a Cracker Barrel. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean.
He looks at, you could, I think if you walked up to him at, like, his wedding, he would look like he was at Cracker Barrel.
Let me check your right pocket. Is there a receipt in there from Cracker Barrel?
And he looks like a guy that's, like, sitting by himself at the bar at a 24-hour diner. Like, all the time. Like, at Christmas dinner, I think he looks like that. Let's go to Dre in Suitland. What's up, Andre?
One guy I like to hire is a guy that plays here. His name is Darvin Ham.
Was my dude when he played here. He could jump out the gym.
Get him in here. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
So, I look, again, I don't know what I don't know here, and I would have to – let's get an NBA insider on in the next couple days, boys, because we like to talk about some of these assistants. What do they actually do? In hockey, generally I know, okay, this guy runs their power play. This guy is in charge of their special teams, or this dude works with the defenseman. I want to know, like, what is Darvin Ham doing exactly in Milwaukee as an assistant? I know that his name comes up all the time.
It does.
And I can tell you I love Darvin Ham, just as a dude. I was around him as a player years and years and years ago. He couldn't have been a cooler dude. But he's worked his butt off.
That's the key. I love this.
He's grinded his way through as a coach, and he's 47 years old now and on the precipice of getting a shot. But he started assistant work with the Lakers in 2011. Then he went to the Hawks. Now he's with the Bucks.
Years in the G League as an assistant.
He was in
Albuquerque
in New Mexico with the Thunderbirds or some team like that. He's worked at it. So I'm in on that. I think that that's a path that I can get behind. John, this is Virginia. What's up, John?
Yes, hi. Thanks for letting me come on the show. Hey, our long local professional basketball nightmare is over. Brooks is gone. This is even better than the days when Ernie Grunfeld and Bruce Allen were let go. I just wanted to suggest it's time for this organization to be bold, bring in Becky Hammon as head coach, and bring along Christy Tolliver and Carol Lawson to be assistants, too.
You're going all-female staff?
Mostly, yeah.
All right. And you think those are the best coaches available for the job?
Well, they're deserving of an interview.
I agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
I mean, Becky Hammon's going to get a head coaching job in the next few years. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And should probably. Here's why. Again, I'll say the same thing about her I said about Darvin Ham. I don't know what she does and what she doesn't do. I know that you've been a sous chef in a kitchen for a while.
It's a pretty good one.
I go to the best organizations in football if I need a GM, and I say, who's the assistant GM in New England, in Seattle, you go to the best teams. In Indianapolis, who works under Chris Ballard? You're now my GM. You know how to do whatever he did. Head coach, who's the best in basketball for years and years and years? There's a few guys top of the list, but Popovich is up there. She's been his right-hand woman for years and years and years and years. Everything he's done, she's right next to him. You would think some of that's rubbed off, so she's a very viable candidate. She's going to get interviewed, I'd imagine.
It's absolutely happening. It's going to happen at some point, somewhere. So, and I agree with you. I would remove DC from that realm of possibility as well. I think it's really, really hard because the way head coaches are in the NBA, you see them so much in game, and it's kind of hard to sort of figure out how much of it is, are you just letting a star run and play? You know, internally, is there somebody here in Washington who would be a great head coach, but we just didn't know it? right? Because, well, the ball's dominated by Russell Westbrook, and then every half-court play goes to Bradley Beal. Is that good coaching, bad coaching? You don't know. I mean, it's really, really hard, I think, in the league. All I do when I'm looking at head coaching candidates is basically say, who are some of these hot names that keep getting thrown around there, whether that's the job of an agent or these guys that cover it, where you hear players sort of talk about these guys with, you know, with reverence, or gals, in this case with Becky Hammon. And when names come up enough times, you know, those folks usually end up getting head coaching gigs.
Let's go to Kendall, who's in Brandywine on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kendall? How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, dude.
Speak to. Hey, so in my mind, well, first of all, I'm just so happy that the coach that we formerly had here is gone, because for a variety of reasons. So Kenny Atkinson will probably be my top choice. He used to coach Brooklyn
in the Nets.
Great X's and O's, great with players. My dark horse would be Wes Unseld. I think he almost might be the leader, not just because of the roots here. But he's a really nice coach, man. Defensive minded, good with the player development, develops young players. And we need structure. Defense has not been our calling card for many, many years. And it's not for lack of defensive talent. I just think the emphasis wasn't there. And with Scott, I mean, he didn't have any emphasis whatsoever on defense. And then, you know, pin downs and ISOs is all he ran on offense. So we need something a little bit more creative on offense for Westbrook. Because I think having him in an ISO situation where he really can't score like that is detrimental to the rest of the team.
Well, yeah, so, at least a half-court offense, Kendall. I mean, they basically realized they couldn't do it, so they said, all right, we'll just play fast. Now, I credit Brooks for that adjustment, but you saw what happened against Philadelphia when they had to run half-court plays. Looked like they never met each other. I mean, it was bad. So they need to improve that area. And I understand that nobody plays defense in the league, but even relative to the rest of the league, the Wizards were towards the bottom of the league for most of the year. When they tried a little bit and stepped it up, all of a sudden they started winning games.
Kendall, it's been a minute. I don't know where you've been, but it's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah,
glad you called in. I agree completely with his take on the offensive side of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I just disagree with him on defense. That's not to say that Brooks doesn't make it an emphasis or that they could have done better with a defensive-minded coach. I'll give him that. But the notion that they have the talent to be a top 10 defensive team or something.
No, they don't. They don't have that.
I think that's outrageous.
They don't have that.
They have so many guys you have to hide defensively who get big minutes. They got guys that are scoring 30-plus points that if they get fouled are complaining about the foul until 6 seconds left in the shot clock, not defending anyone in the next position, and no one seems to care in this town. So there's a lot they got to sort out. Now, some of that's
Agreed.
Coaching, I guess. You could get after a player for doing that. But I think it is... every bit as big an issue with personnel and players as it is coaching. And to me, defense largely in basketball is about effort.
It absolutely is.
It's a want-to thing. How hard are you going to work? How much are you going to grind? Some of the great defensive players in this league, some of the pain-in-the-ass players you see night in and night out in these playoffs, they're not the most talented guys. They're not the best players. How hard are you working? How hard are you grinding? So, you know, it's a skill, certainly, but it's also something that you just have to want to do. I don't know that they've had enough guys the last couple of years who wanted to do it. When they have, Hal Netto, or they brought in Anthony Gill was from the University of Virginia. Like, weirdly, they get better on defense when those guys are on the floor.
Stunning. But also, if you play for Tom Thibodeau, it's not as if New York has a bunch of great defenders.
He's the example, but cool. That's an example.
No, I'm saying, if somebody decides to emphasize it, Randy Whitman didn't have great defensive players, but they did because he's a maniac.
Agreed. But everyone always points to Thibodeau because he's the one guy wherever he goes, they play defense. By and large, just as a general rule, you hire a coach, it's not going to be night and day. Like, the Knicks were. Congratulations to them. They hit the jackpot.
Right.
If the Wizards can bring in Tibbs, they'll start playing defense.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting night and day. I'm also saying, though, don't end the season 20th. Beat 14th with that group.
By the way, it's still weird that they were 20th.
Well, when business
they don't
picked
look
up.
20th.
Well, I know. I don't think they were for the most part. By the way, offensive rating, they were also 20th, masked by pace. Sneaky little thing. Again, there wasn't anything they really did well.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. If you're just joining us today, Scott Brooks and the Wizards parting ways. They're going to go in a different direction. They will have a new head coach next season. Let's go around the NFL next. There's a lot to get to in football, including a new policy for players who are vaccinated as opposed to those who are unvaccinated. Plus, the Chicago Bears have said there's no way Justin Fields is going to start in week one, which is interesting. And Derek Carr, I think, put his foot in his mouth in a weird way. You'll hear something he said that could come back to bite him as soon as next offseason. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Corbin last night, almost a complete game, pitched into the ninth, his best start of the season. We can chalk it up as the Pirates if we want to, and that's part of it. You still got to go out there and make pitches.
Yeah, they needed that, and he needed that too. Build it.
Let's hope he can start to turn his act around. That was his first quality start, by the way, in 33 days. June 15th outing had not been quality. Six or more innings, three or fewer runs since May 13th, I believe it was, last time we saw Corbin go out and throw the ball really well. So they needed that, and they'll take it. The Nats are in action today, 4:05 first pitch right here on The Fan. Get you a little preview next hour on the game. Also, we got audio, which is incredible. We'll play it at the top of the hour from Tyler Glasnow of the Rays, who spoke out angrily about baseball's crackdown on pitchers using sticky stuff. He thinks that an injury that he suffered last week can directly be attributed to the fact that he used nothing to grip the baseball. He said he was having to squeeze the ball harder and use muscles that he's never had to use before, and he woke up feeling weird, and 2 weeks later, he's now on the shelf and has a UCL problem. And he alleges, he really believes, he says, I always use, for me, it's sunscreen and rosin. He says, I have used sticky stuff before, but he said, I didn't use anything 2 starts ago in an outing against the Nationals, and he said it was the best I've pitched. But his point was, while not using anything, and you'll hear him say all this, I had to basically squeeze the ball harder, and I didn't want the ball to slip. And he said it led to an injury. He really believes that.
Man, I don't really know how to address that, and we will, but it is a heavy accusation, I would say.
So you'll hear that audio coming up top of the hour. All right, let's go around the NFL on a day where news has come out that the league is addressing players who are and are not vaccinated. We talked about this a little over a week ago. Locally, Montez Sweat said he's not going to get vaccinated. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network has all of the criterias, what happens, where you can eat, where you can't, what you can do, what you can't do in the weight room and on the practice field. But bottom line, unvaccinated individuals, including players, will be prohibited from gathering outside of the club facility or team travel per the memo. So you can't go to a party at someone's house. You can't get together with your teammates if they're going out to see a movie if you're unvaccinated. It includes gatherings for meetings, practices, or training activities unless approved by the league or the players' association. So be unvaccinated if you want to, Montez Sweat, the league's telling you.
Your call.
But there's a lot of stuff you're not going to be able to do that other guys in the league are going to be able to do. All right, let's start in Las Vegas with Derek Carr. It's one thing if you're a legend who you know is never going anywhere to say you won't play somewhere else. How about Derek Carr threatening basically to retire if he's ever not a Raider? What a weird thing for a guy who might not be a Raider in 6 minutes to say.
For me, it's more about loyalty. It's more about being the same guy every single day. You know, my goal was when I got here to, you know, give everything I have to this organization, let our fans know I'm giving it all that I have, and I will always continue to do that on season, off season. And whether the situation is great or not, that's okay. People can say whatever they want. I know what I've put on film. I know the things that I've been able to accomplish, and I still want more. There's still more, and I want to do it here. I don't want to do it anywhere else. I've said it over and over again. I'd probably quit football if I had to play for somebody else. You know, I am a Raider for my entire life. I'm going to root for one team for the rest of my life, and it's the Raiders.
I get what he's trying to do, but I would just say maybe do less. And just turn it down some.
It's just gutsy.
Yeah.
They could trade you. You could be cut after the season. A guy in like who's the 14th best quarterback in the league or something like that saying, I'll quit if I can't play here. It's just aggressive.
It is. It's coming in hot. And he's, you know, you're talking about a guy that's had over 100 quarterback rating each of the last 2 years, 48 touchdowns, 17 picks, basically averaging around 24, 25 touchdowns per and just over 8 interceptions. Very solid. Not great, but very, very solid, even plus. But that's aggressive.
Dateline Chicago, Matt Nagy says Justin Fields is not going to start in week one on Chris Collinsworth's podcast.
I do have to ask this one question. Is there a possible scenario where Justin Fields plays on opening night?
No. I mean, Andy is our starter. And again, I can't predict anything. You know, that's you know how it goes. I mean, there's so many things that could happen between today and that week one. But that's Andy is our starter and Justin's our number two. And we're going to stick to this plan.
For now, I think that's one of those things where you can't just say it right now this minute, but I think that's going to happen. I don't, whether it's week one or not, it's happening early in the season. It's Justin Fields' time sooner rather than later.
There are so many quarterbacks in the league last couple of years, bridge guys like Dalton, who have heard, I'm their starter. And as you said, you were their starter for today, for tomorrow, for the month.
In June.
Are you going to be their starter in a couple months? I think Dalton gets the call in week one. We'll see Fields a few games in. That's what it's starting to look like. All right, that audio from Tyler Glasnow saying he thinks he got hurt by not using Sticky next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.